Jacob Howell is lay reader.
Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by good life, show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then preachable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness sown of peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you convey something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You have and do not receive, because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you.
Thank you, Jacob. Thanks be to God. Amen. We are surely living in a very difficult time today. Although life is hard, if we have God's wisdom, it'll be much easier. So whenever I pray for myself, as well as for my children and grandchildren, my first priority in prayer is asking God to pour out his wisdom upon them. Before we dig in the passage about wisdom, we need to know the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge refers to the accumulation of facts. Wisdom gives you understanding of what the facts mean. With the wisdom we have, we live by making certain choices, saying certain things, doing certain actions, making certain plans, and forming relationships with people. Anyone can gain knowledge, but only God can give you wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." One day, a small aircraft broke down. There was a pilot and three passengers on board, a space scientist, an old man, and a young boy. The pilot says, "I can't die here, because I'm going to be promoted to a jet pilot soon. And everything on board is mine. There are three parachutes here. One I'm going to use." Then the pilot disappears with a parachute. Then the space scientist said, "I am the smartest and wisest person. So if I die here, it is going to be a huge loss for my country. I must use the next parachute." Then, without looking back, he quickly jumps off. The old man sternly said to the boy, "The final parachute is for you. I am okay because I have lived enough. The boy then shouted, "No, we both will leave." Poor wise man, he just took my backpack, not a parachute. Like this, you could be the smartest person in the world, but still be a fool without wisdom. We have looked at several lists that can check our true faith through the book of James. True faith endures trials and rejoices. True faith resists temptation and trust in God. True faith hears and obeys the word of God. True faith rejects discrimination and practices compassion. True faith is shown by the action of one's faith. And the tongues are controlled and governed. And today, we add another important addition to our list of true faith, which is wisdom. Through today's passage, we want to look at two kinds of wisdom that James speaks of and examine our own wisdom. James first speaks of worldly wisdom. Verses 14 and 15 says, "But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish." James begins by warning us against two specific sins, bitter envy and selfish ambition. The first refers to resentment because others have something you don't. It might be money, or a degree, or popularity, or a better job, or a happier family. But that's not the end of it. Bitter envy leads on to selfish ambition. It describes someone whose desire to get ahead leads them to abandon all morality, break all the rules, and do whatever it takes to get ahead. James tells us that this wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. It is earthly because it comes from human reason, not from God. It is also unspiritual because it appeals to human reason and human emotions. But that's not the worst of it. It is demonic because it comes from the devil, who is also called the accuser of the brethren. The only way we can transform earthly wisdom to heavenly wisdom is to have the Holy Spirit residing within us. The Spirit will guide us away from the earthly wisdom that we have been so used to and lead us into the wisdom of Christ. Next, James speaks of heavenly wisdom. What does God's wisdom look like? James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 gives us seven characteristics of God's wisdom. Let's look at them. First is pure. James lists purity first because this is where wisdom begins. Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." If we earnestly pursue God's kingdom in your heart, you will see God's presence everywhere around you. Even in the midst of the most terrible darkness, your spiritual eyes will be opened to see God at work. Second is peaceable. The Greek word translated peaceable speaks to our attitude in times of conflict. When wisdom from above fills your life, you will be an agent for healing and reconciliation. Godly wisdom helps us turn away from violence, bitterness, hatred, and animosity that come from earthly wisdom and guides us to build peaceful relationships. Third is gentle. If you believe in Jesus, you can be gentle because Jesus has been gentle with you. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus tells us to learn from him who has a meek spirit and a gentle heart. Then we can be granted the Lord's rest in our souls. Fourth is submission. Willingness to yield in other translations. The Greek word of submissive means easy to persuade. Earthly wisdom is arrogant and stubborn. It refuses to listen and has no desire to hear anyone else's opinion. When the Holy Spirit works in us, he softens our hearts and makes us follow his word. Fifth is mercy, full of mercy and good fruit. Mercy is more than a feeling. Mercy sees a need, then meets that need. That's why James adds, full of good fruit along with mercy. Worldly wisdom condemns and judges a person's faults and mistakes, but mercy shows forgiveness and compassion. Because of God's great mercy, God sent his Son to die on the cross for us. Mercy is the hallmark of true wisdom, so we should be also merciful. Six is impartiality. It means holding firm to the same standard at all times. Such a person is free from prejudices and favoritism. James already emphasized in chapter 2 that partiality is a sin. True wisdom is to treat people without prejudices. Last is without hypocrisy. The Greek word originally meant not playing a part, referring to the ancient Greek plays where an actor would wear a mask while pretending to be someone else. To be without hypocrisy means what you see is what you get. God's wisdom makes us silence, makes us sincere. Not lying or two-faced. Imagine someone's life full of these qualities of God's wisdom, perhaps the world will laugh at living foolish life, but God will be proud. Fortunately, we have someone who perfectly demonstrated heavenly wisdom in his life. That is Jesus Christ. You are right. He set a perfect example for us and became our best model. Through Jesus, we can clearly see what God's wisdom is. Verse 18 explains what happens when we live according to God's wisdom. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. We sow seeds of peace when we spend time in prayer instead of arguing with whom we disagree. We sow seeds by greeting strangers with a smile. We sow seeds by doing good deeds to those in need. And most of all, we sow seeds of peace by devoting ourselves to ministries and missions of the church. Of course, even if the results do not appear immediately, we must believe that if we sow a seed in the name of the Lord, it will surely bear fruit someday. Amen. Therefore, let us continue to sow the seeds of our faith for our unbelieving family members, for our nation that is moving away from God, and for the world that does not know the true peace of God, so constantly engaging in wars. Dear congregant, we looked at two kinds of wisdom today. James challenges us now. He says, let me ask you, who says you have wisdom, what kind of wisdom do you have? Check whether it is wisdom from above or not, and prove it with your life. James also encourages us in James chapter 1, verse 9. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. That's good news, right? God, if we need wisdom, all we need is to ask for it. So practice your self-awareness of whether your decision-making goes along with godly wisdom. And know that if you humbly ask God for his wisdom, our Lord is willing to grant wisdom that can help you out. James goes a step further in chapter 4. Verse 7 and 8. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Amen. James emphasizes that by maintaining a close relationship with God, who gives us godly wisdom, we will not be deceived by the devil, who has confused us with worldly wisdom. James is saying that the best way to fight the devil is to live a life closer to God rather than relying on ourselves. The devil does everything he can do to distract us from God. But if we are unwavering in our trust and love for God, the devil will lose its power and flee from us. This is because no matter how strong the devil may be, he cannot touch those in whom God's love abides. What the devil fears the most is love. Love. If we read the testimonial books of those who had been to heaven on their deathbed, surprisingly, they all agree that in heaven, love rules all things. And they can always hear the loving words and sing to praise God's love. The most vivid memory of returning to earth after a near-death experience is knowing how lovable they are. How lovable they are. In heaven, they can always listen to the God's loving words. I love you. I love you. You are my loved one. You are my loved one. I will do anything for you. Therefore, we must practice living in God's love here on earth. Then it'll be easier for us to adjust to live in heaven later. We can begin our heavenward life with godly wisdom. Let us ask God to pour heavenly wisdom upon us whenever we feel a lack of it. Let's pray earnestly to God every day. Oh Lord, help us to draw near to you. Help us to show God's presence within us through our words and deeds in love. Amen. God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.